escape from God's wrath through him. For if we, while we were God's enemies, were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? Because that there it is, how much more? How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only in this life, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Holy Ghost, I pray that you come upon me, Lord, even today as I share your word. What an honor. What an honor to share your word. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you give us great vision in this hour. Give us eyes to see, Father, everything that we need to see, even in the month ahead, Father. Great vision be upon your people. Give us a heart to receive, Father, everything that you have for us, even out of your word today. Let us grab a hold of the promises of God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Father, I pray, open our hearing, open our understanding today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. I don't do this often, but I want you to take your finger, but hold your finger up. Okay? And I want you to point it right here at your chest. Okay? Everybody with me? You don't say. I want you to say, I'm valuable to God. I'm worthy to God. One more time. I'm valuable to God. I'm worthy to God. Now, no. Okay. You don't get, I'm going to give you permission. Now point your finger at somebody else. Some of you guys grow up, you weren't supposed to point fingers, right? Some of you got in trouble for this. You say, hey, I want you to say this. Say, you're valuable to God. You're worthy to God. Amen. Some of you got, you're not in trouble. You're in church, okay? You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. You know, it's one of the things that if we can catch and we can glean from even the passage of Scripture here, what God is saying is you're worthy. You're worthy. You're valuable. You're valuable to God. I want you to understand. I'm not giving you permission to go on some kind of, hey, I'm worthy, and I, you know, get an ego about it. But one of the things that you see happening. You see happening in our culture. You see it happening in the world. Is people feel like they're not worthy of God. But I got to tell you something right now. But he paid a price for you. He paid a price for you. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, just not worthy of God's grace. Not, you know, no, you are worthy of God's grace, His love. You know, I thought about it today, and you know, and even last night, and I thought, you know. Where would we be, or where would we not be if he hadn't got involved in our lives? Where would I be? I would be a wreck. We had a men's conference this weekend, and you know, one of the things I loved about the men was our speakers were very transparent and very real. That without relationship, you know, not talking about rules today, but without relationship, there's no way I would have made it. And as they begin to share their testimonies and stories, and Brother Austin Jones, we laughed about it. He sent me a message. He's like, he said, brother, get some sleep. I said, I can't, you know, because we ministered to each other for the last couple of days, and we were up to 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, brother, I don't even know what time of the day it is. I told everybody good evening when I took the pulpit earlier. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. But I caught something. I caught something in my spirit. Even this weekend that I'm valuable to God. That he, you know, he spared my life when my life was not going the right direction. You may think, well, Pastor, you know, we've all heard this, and you know, I understand that. But I think one of the things that I want you to grab a hold of today is because if you don't understand value, you don't understand what he's done for you, you're just gonna go through life. You're going to cruise into the life of ups and downs. You won't cruise into a place of saying, no, I have a real freedom in him. I have real relationship with him. You know, when you value something, you know what you do? You take care of it. I told the first service, I said, one of the things about value, I've been cleaning my garage for 3 years. I don't know if that's anybody in here. This is my story. So you got your garage is needed cleaned, and you got a garage that you needs clean. You know, praise God. I've been cleaning my garage for 3 years, but this last time I took a real strong attempt to really go after it. And you know, I could look around in my garage real quick and I could determine what I valued, because it was better taken care of. A certain tool, a certain drill. I got this cool drill set, right? I took care, taking care of the drill set. The old drill set, poor old drill set, right? You know, I'm like putting stuff in a pile. I'm going to give this a Zeffin, you know. You know, it still works, praise God. It still works. But see, if you don't value, I know it seems simple, but if you don't value what you have, you're not going to keep a hold of it. And see, that's one of the things about the Lord. You've got to be in a place where you value the relationship with Him. Because when you read this text and you read the Bible, you'll see that, you know, you were powerless as a Christian. You weren't a Christian yet, but you were powerless. But the Bible says, I have come that you shall receive power. Amen. That word there, power, is even dunamis, but it's that I have come so that you would have life. And an abundant life. It's not a life of, you know, please hear me today. It's not a life that God's calling you to be on a roller coaster ride. That you can stand firm in the promises of God and stand. And stay in that place, and not be. You know, listen. You know, I'll get there here in a second. But you know, I don't want you to get focused or put attentions on the battles, because you know, listen. You'll never have victories if you don't have battles. But if you get so one-sided about the battle, you'll not realize what Jesus is wanting to do. He's wanting to pull you deeper and greater into a loving relationship. That's what He died for. It's not just the simple that He died for me that I could go to heaven. Amen. I'm thankful for that. It's that you would have victory after victory after victory. I'm more than a conqueror. That's what my Bible, it says that about you. You're valuable. It says that about you, that you are this in Him. You are this in Him. You know, our identity, you know, in our culture today, and it's not culture, it's not about culture, you know. Identity today is so messed up. You know, I don't know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Okay, so follow me today, because, I mean, there's a crisis in our nation. There's a crisis, you know, in our classrooms. There's a crisis down at Starbucks. There's a crisis at Dunkin' Donuts. There's a crisis at Sheetz. There's a crisis that anywhere you go in the world, that people don't know who they are. They're searching for identity. But true identity will only be, I'm a pastor, I should say this, but true identity will only be found in knowing who you are in Him. Knowing who you are in Him. God wants to go deep. Can I be real? He wants to go deep with us. He's not just the surface. God, Jesus is just not surface. If it stopped at salvation, why would we need a church? Why would we need to gather? If it just stopped at salvation and we had it, you know, it's so that we learn. It's so that we grow in the things of God. Amen. That we begin to identify as He is. As He is. You're worthy. And please hear that today, because the fight is that, because the fight is for you not to feel worthy. The fight is for you to be focused on the tactics of the enemy. We talked about this last week, but you know, the wiles of the enemy. The focus is to pull you away from things, to pull you away from a greater, deeper, loving relationship. But if you understand something today, point number one, you're worthy. You're worthy. You know, because, you know, when I said that in first service, I know we're all coming into it, but I mean, it was like at the point you felt like the Holy Ghost just entered the room. Because listen, sometimes it's like, you know, We got to remove feelings and move into a realm of understanding what the Word actually says about me. Because if we follow our feelings, it's going to take us to a place where we're always, I feel this way, I feel that way. You know, there's some of our leaders that come in here today that they personally don't feel well. But I know what their vocabulary is. I'm healed in Jesus' mighty name. I'm made whole. I'm made well in Jesus' mighty name. There's none of the leaders in this house that haven't come here sick, fever, whatever. I mean, there's preachers that haven't either. Brother Steve and I were having this conversation last night, you know. He was talking about it yesterday. He's like, you know, he said, it's not that I'm like bad or anything. He's just, I feel like I got a little bit of a cold. But at first I was like, you know, maybe I just need to set this one out. But he says, as I made the comment about just setting one out, I felt the Holy Ghost come upon me and said, go, right, go. So in the going, what happens? You begin to get refreshed. You begin to get healed. You're worthy. You're worthy. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Peter 1. Because see, God, one of the things that he's doing is he's bringing us into a greater revelation. He's bringing the church into a greater revelation around this relationship thing. You know, you get saved. You get saved, and you know, I remember when I first got saved, you know, I was just trying to figure out this Jesus thing, you know, dealing with stuff, working stuff out, and you know, people would come to me and say, you know, you just gotta have a relationship. I'm like, well, I got a relationship with my wife. What do you mean I gotta have a relationship? I can see my wife, I can touch my wife, I can talk to my wife. What do you mean I gotta have a relationship? And I never understood that for a period of time. And I realized the reason I didn't understand it was because I wasn't going to the source to build upon the relationship. There's a source you go to it's, you know, relationships aren't one-sided. Right? You know, I think that's how we do it in the world. Yeah, just love God. But if you never open His book to really know His love, you're going to hate your neighbor. Somebody, that's good. That's good, because if you don't know that in the Word of God that it says you should love your neighbor as you love the Lord, well, you're not going to know that that's there. So it's not one-sided. God wants to pull you into a greater level of relationship so you understand your calling and you understand your purpose and you understand I am worthy. Amen. I God cares about me. I am somebody to Jesus. Somebody needs to hear that today. You're somebody to Jesus. It's the people online, right? They need to hear that. Amen. I'm somebody to Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18, look at this. 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you, for me, for all. He in the last times, guys, click, 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 click. You can see where we're at. The Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to celebrate that soon. When Doctor, you know, he makes that comment. I believe that's when Jesus is returning. I'm like, hey, praise God, he could be coming. Hey, he could be coming. How do we live? We live ready. I don't live busted. I live ready for the coming of him. Amen? Amen. Through the grace of God, through the love and mercy that he's bestowed upon me. Amen. I live ready. But Peter's saying something. Look, he's saying I'm not going to be persuaded into the earthly things. I'm not going to be persuaded into thinking about I have all these things and have all this stuff. I'm going to be persuaded in my relationship with Christ Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God, see, God knew the plan. He knew the plan. You know, you think about it. He's given us. He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. The Bible says He knew us. He created you. He gave you life. So as a baby, you were given life. And think about this. He gave you a second life. He gave you a born again life. Because see, we all have sinned. You know, make no mistake. People in here, everybody's missed it. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. But that we would be at that place of restoration and be redeemed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. That I can, you know, can I tell you today, because, you know, people grew up with a theology that, well, you know, you just sin. You're always going to be in sin. You don't, guys, are you doing the same things that you were doing when you first got saved? See, that's it. So God, you're kicking some things out. You're kicking some things out, and God's helping you. Amen. That word Wednesday night, God told me to come and tell you I'm here to help. That was the word. He was like, Pastor, you know, I wanted to prophesy and preach, and, you know, I wanted to be a prophet and evangelize. And he said, I walked into the church, and all I could feel was like, I'm in Nome, Alaska. And then the Lord said, teach and tell them. And it was a word. It was a word for us as a church. I'm here to help. That's what God wants to do. He wants you to understand that you're worthy, that there's a place in Him for you. Amen. You know, in the hustle and in the world, it's that we try to grab a hold of things in the world to think that's what should drive our faith or drive our Christianity. I'll stop there. I'm going to get there here in a second. Look at 1 John 3, verse 1. Because, see, value, if we don't understand our value, we don't understand what's available, what we can possess, what we can walk in. You know, if we don't value the relationship, we don't value the things that are necessary to grow in the things of God, if we value just a little bit about what we've learned. See, can I tell you, you keep learning and you keep learning and you keep learning. You keep learning. You know, Kali, it's really cool because the worship team, Minister Lehow and them, like, learning that new song. You know, what if they come in here and they sing the same three songs every week? How's that going to be? We've done this one before. You know, it'd be like this. You know, no. They brought a new song today. And, you know, and I look around and everybody's like, you know, we're all learning the words together, amen? But, and then Kali hits that note, it's like, where's that come from? That's all. He's down deep down, right? So God's, that's what He's doing. He's always just wanting us to come a little further, to grow a little more. But see, that happens through it's not about me, but it's about Him. It's about coming into that place of greater revelation, greater relationship. He's not done with you. He's not done with you. For some of you, He's just getting started. You think, well, I've been saved for 20 years. I've been serving in the house. No. It's just getting started. You think, I've seen the goodness of God. No, it's just getting started. You're just now getting into the place where things are starting to warm up. It's starting to heat up a little bit. Well, you know, I got this. You know, I'll never make the comment then, because a lot of people want to attach their age to where God can use them. Brother Austin said, how old are you? So I'm 52, and praise God, at 62, I'm going to be doing more for the kingdom of God at 62 as I was when I was 52. 72, praise God. It's all about me coming into the understanding he values me, I value Him. He wants me to do kingdom things. Man, isn't it good? Isn't it good when we can come into that place and say, oh, no, you care about me, Lord. You care about, I'm special to you, Lord. You care, you know, oh, no, Lord, you care about me. Your eyes upon me. You knew me, Lord. God, guess what? You know me now. You know my heart. You know how much I care for you. Get out of your head. Get out of yourself. The enemy wants to attack your self-worth. If you're sitting around having pity parties for yourself and everybody around you, that's the game of the enemy. Daggone it. I said that. It's a West Virginia thing. Daggone it. You know, but it's a thing that we allow the enemy to come in and just play with our minds and play with our lives. You know, put the brakes on and say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. So number one, you're worth it. You're valuable to God. Number two, He is worth it. Take your Bibles, go to Ephesians 1. Challenge this church. I'm going to challenge you again. This week, read the book of Ephesians. Anybody jumping into that? Anybody doing jumping in with me? Doing Ephesians? Amen. In Christ Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus. You want to know where you're supposed to live? Read Ephesians. Amen. Jump into that book. You'll begin to see, I can be in this thing. I can be in it. I can be in it. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is sounding like somebody that's in relationship. Well, you know, sometimes he blesses me, sometimes he doesn't bless me, sometimes he wants to do this, sometimes he doesn't want to do this, and some, you know, you just fight. You just all the time. No, this sounds like somebody that's in relationship. Are you in relationship? Are you, guys, I'm not talking about the trials and, the things that, count it all joy, my brother, when a trial comes. Read James. Count it all joy. We think every trial, everything that comes our way, we think, well, I'm not blessed with every spiritual blessing. When I have a trial, my vocabulary changes very quickly. It's like why we pray for healing, now. Rather than waiting until December or January or February. Father, thank you. I pray that way over this. Thank you that, Lord, these next 3 months, we're going to be healthy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. No sickness nor disease shall come against this house, nor touch it in Jesus' name. Every household shall be healthy, whole, and healed in Jesus' mighty name. Every spiritual blessing belongs to me in Jesus' mighty name. It's mouth a lot of times. It's the things that we allow to come out of our mouth, things that we speak. I could stay in Ephesians 1 and stay here for another 12 weeks, but blessed to be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. Look at this, in him. Just underline it. If you don't have it, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be what? We should be holy and without blame before him in love. What? In love. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Is a son or a daughter? Is that a close type relationship? Or is it he's just a son? No. I'm a son or daughter of the King. I'm a son or a daughter of the King. That represents, son or a daughter represents closeness. If Zephon or Gracia, if they're a son or daughter of mine and I don't talk to them from the time of birth until they decide to get married, praise God, I'm not in a close relationship with them. They're going to wonder, is he a son? Is he my dad? Gracia would be like, my father? I don't have a father to give me away. I don't have a father to marry. They he's not there. But he sees us as a son or a daughter. That's determining right now what kind of relationship he wants with you. He wants you to be seen as a son or daughter. Yeah, maybe you didn't have that. Maybe you had a goofy kind of relationship with your father or your mother. Jesus wants to be your heavenly father. Amen. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and in the beloved. In him we have redemption. In him. Look at this. In him. In him we have redemption through his blood. Through what? Through his blood. We're going to take communion today. We receive Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus that was shed upon earth so that we could have salvation. You can leave here today if you've never done it, or maybe you've wandered away from God. You can leave here today knowing that the blood of Jesus covers your sins. You can leave here today knowing that, you have a Savior. He did. He came to save the world. Really? No, yeah, really. He did. He came to do it for you. He came to do it for me. I love it. God's no respecter of people. He chose you. He chose you. It's God's will. The Bible says in Peter that none shall perish. That's God's will. So you think, what about my family? My family's... No, you're them too. Them too. Because, you know, I was a me too. Me? Really? He can save me? Bro, you don't know what I've done. You know, I've been in prisons. I've sat with murderers. I've sat with people, I was in jail one time in Maui. You guys kind of tell your story? I was in jail one time in Maui. They don't hold murderers in Maui. They send them to Arizona. And I had a request from one of our family members in our church. Can you go see my son? Yeah, natural. No, I don't really want to go see your son. I met your son once. You know, I don't, because I don't know what he's going to say to me. Because even at the point that I seen him the first time I met him, he was just like, he was pretty hardcore. It's all you, the pastor. You know. So here we go. We'll fight or what's going to happen? I don't know. And I said, you know what? I'll go. I'll go. And of course, you know, I've not been to Maui jail. I went in and gave my credentials. You know, you're the pastor. You're here to meet with him. It's in Christ we do these things, because it wasn't of my own strength, because I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I was curious, I will say that, because the first door I walked in, there was like three doors. I don't know if you ever went into the back rooms, but in ministry, but I went through one door, and there's a room. I see this room, and I hadn't played all this out in my head. I didn't play it out until I got into the room, but the guard's over this watch area, and he opens the button. I go through one door, click, it unlocks, and I go through another door, click, it locks, and I'm thinking, there's two doors. They're locked. You can't get out of them. I mean, they're locked. And then I go into a third room where I'm sitting, and there's a table and two chairs. And everything's real light. The chairs are aluminum light. Like, like they would hurt if you got hit with one. My first thing was, okay, if I get hit with one of these, that's going to hurt. But then I start thinking, as I'm sitting there waiting on him to come in, I'm looking up in the, I'm like, how quick would it take that guy to get to me? Man, that's a good minute. You know, nobody thinks this way, right? Just pastors that have a past, right? You know, those pastors anyway. So I don't know the guy really. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. But what I know is that I'm on assignment. I'm on assignment for, you know, it's an assignment because I'm in Christ. It's him in me. It's not me, myself. I don't necessarily want to be there, but it's that I'm in him. And, you know, no joke, like he literally comes through three doors, open, close, open, close. I'm going one, two, three, because I'm watching the doors as they close. How long is it taking him to get to me? Okay, it's like 30 seconds. So I'm thinking, this guy's a minute out, this guy's 30 seconds out, so what's the worst could happen? I mean, if I don't know him, if he gets mad at me, we're 45 seconds at best, you know. I pull the table back because I'm like, I'm just positioning everything, and I position my chair, okay? Like, but I'm like, would you just calm down, Brad? I mean, this is a conversation I'm having. Just calm down. You know, everything's going to be good, you know? And the guy walks in. And, you know, they always tell you, and I love this, they tell you in jail, you know, don't hug people. You know, don't touch people. He walks in. The first thing he does, brother! The guard's already locked the door. The doors are locked. And he's got a hold of me. He's holding me in an embrace. And we're holding each other. And I'm like, guy's up there in the nest looking down, and the other guy's already, he's got his back turned, you know. I'm thinking 45 seconds, you know, he's got a hold of me, and we're just loving each other at that moment. You know, we sit down, and I asked this question, you know, it's from the Holy Spirit. I said, see, he's worth it. He's worthy, but he's worth it. That's my second point. He's worth it. Because see, he needed hope. He needed hope. He needed love. And see, God's love can come through a person. That's what he needed. He needed that. And you know what the Lord told me is interesting? The Lord told me he would get, literally, after I met with him and I walked out, I said, he'll be freed. I felt it. I felt it in my spirit that the charges that were against him, he would be freed on. And I told his mom, I said, I don't think your son's going to be there that long. And he's up for a murder charge. But anyway, you know, I sat down with him, and because he's God's worth it. God cares about this guy. You know, he cares about this guy. He loves this guy. He has a purpose and plan for this guy. And I just looked at him and said, tell me about home. I sat down with him and said, tell me about home. I said, I love K&I. I said, it's beautiful. I said, a few of the places that I've been allowed to go, and I've walked through a few patches. I was with Minister Lehigh one time in K&I, and they're like, hey, Brett, you just stay in a car. You know, this is not a place you need to walk, but, you know, it's a beautiful place. It's one of I love the area. I said, tell me about your home, man. I said, yeah, when I was a kid, you know, he said, there's waterfalls in K&I nobody's ever seen. There's ponds nobody's ever seen. And I've seen that beauty, so I was like, I said, just give me a picture. Give me a picture of that. He's like, well, you know, the waterfall. And so we're making this conversation, you know. And that's relationship. See, that's what Jesus does with us. It's, you know, because he's worthy, right? He wants us to be in relationship with him. You know, that's how things work. And so we're just talking, you know. And I just, you know, at that point I was like, God, you did this. You opened the door. Hey, brother, I just, you know, I feel like the Lord sent me here for a reason. He's like, he did. You know, he said, he did. He sent you here. I said, you need to recommit your life, huh? He was like, yeah, I do. He said, I've hurt this people, that people, my family. Just went through a list of things. I said, brother, we can put that under the blood. We can put that under the blood. And we did that day. We did that day. And he was actually freed. He was free to, I don't know, within a year. It's crazy, wild. But you're worthy. He's worthy. Because that's what he does. He does that. So it's like sometimes just to understand what we can step into, to understand what's possible, it's only through him. It's only through the blood of Jesus. It's that in Christ in me. Amen. It's Jesus in me. It's Jesus in you. You accomplish so many things when you have the revelation, you have the knowledge of who you are in Christ Jesus. Not who you are in the world. I don't look like the world. You know, you can have possessions of the world, but, you know, don't look like the world. You know, Peter's saying this, silver and gold, this stuff doesn't matter. Relationship matters. Relationship matters. Take your Bibles, let's look at Matthew 19. I want to stay with Peter. You know, who does this stuff? Jesus does this stuff. Jesus saved that guy in prison. Jesus saved you. That's who he is. That's who does it. It's him. Look at this story in Matthew 19, verse 28. So Jesus said to them, it says, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones. Let me back up. Let's go to verse 23. I jumped ahead. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. Because, you know, in this story, you'll find that Peter got a little bit of attitude. Anybody ever get attitude? Anybody? I got a few honest people in here. You know, they start shaking their heads. More. If I hang around here long enough, everybody's like, "Yeah, me. That's me." You know, I've had attitude, right? So now everybody's agreed that they've had some attitude, right? Well, Peter, I believe in this story had some attitude. In Matthew 19, it says in verse 23, it says Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. This is impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. And Peter, what I believe, I think where he probably had a little bit of attitude. Sometimes you read the Bible and you read it just like maybe how you read it, real soft. And I don't think this was the case. I think, you know, because Peter was a commercial fisherman. He left a lot to follow Jesus. He had great wealth. He had fleets of boats. So it wasn't like Peter was just out cruising one day and Jesus chose worthy men. He didn't just choose some guy that was sitting at home on his couch with Cheetos. He didn't choose that guy. He chose guys that had active professions, people that were busy, people that worked hard. Those were the people that Jesus chose. I'm not saying he can save every one of every person can be saved, but he chose worthy people, and that's a whole other message for another day. He chose worthy people. But Peter, Peter makes this comment. He says, Peter answered him, he said, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? What do we get? I've left it all, Jesus. Nobody's ever done that. You've never asked that question before, have you? What do I get? What do I get out of this salvation? What am I going to get? When's it my turn? Oh. So Peter had a little bit of attitude here. I believe that, you know. I paid the price. There's only one man that's paid the price. There's only been one man that's ever paid the price for redemption, the blood of Jesus that was shed. There's only one man. I'm going to tell you that the gospel, the call, but if to be honest, it'll cost you everything. The call of God will cost you everything. I'm not talking just about salvation. Salvation costs you confessing your sins. The call of God will cost, it'll cost you everything. And that's the thing, you know, gee whiz, the call will cost you everything. It'll cost you everything. Peter said, you know, what do you get? And I think it was said with probably some attitude. And Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will all sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first. Man, that's powerful. But you know, what I see here, and I heard Pastor Josh say this, and it was like, it was so good, because a lot of times we can get hung up on the number counting, right? Well, I've sown this, and I this is my return. It's a 30, a 60, a 100, or I've done this, I've done that. But Jesus is saying something to Peter here. Peter, you get me. Peter, you get me. You get all of me. You get the fullness of me. You get, you know, every, and, you know, Paul goes on to write, every spiritual blessing. So, not it was Paul that wrote that, but understand something. You get all. You get all of me, Peter. You get all of me. You get me. Man, can I tell you that what we get is more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Because the more I have of him, the more revelation I have. Can I tell you, the more I have of him, the greater revelation that I have in finances. You know, because we equate, sometimes we think about money or we think about material things. Jesus isn't dealing with material things here. You get eternal life. Did you see what it said there? You get eternal life. You get a judge, but then you get eternal life. See, that's good, right? That's good that we get eternal life. In this life, you will have 100-fold. You get all of him. You get all of him. You get the relationship with him. You come into a place, a greater revelation. So he's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. You're worthy. He's worthy. So that you come into that. Peter, you get me. Jesus say, Peter, you get me. You get me. I'm going to tell you today, some people in here, you need to get him. Because listen, you know, this world will have you chasing after all kinds of stuff. What would it be that a man gains the world but loses his soul? The Bible says that. People will, guys, please hear this. I'm a prosperity guy. I believe in prosperity. Without me prospering at points in my life, there was no way, watch this, hear this, if I wasn't prospering in certain ways, there's no way that I could have not give the things that I've given. I don't have mass millions of dollars. No, I'm not talking about that because I have him. My focus is on him. My focus is on him. I don't worry about money. I'm not tied into that system. I get more excited about the can of green beans that I got on the shelf that my wife canned this year than I do a $100 bill. Praise God, those green beans are going to be awesome. Because I'm not tied to money. Don't be tied to material things. You need money? Yes, money's a tool. You do good with it, you people could do bad with it. So money's an amoral thing. So hear that today. Be blessed, amen. Make a boatload of money. Do as much for the kingdom of God as you can, amen. And, I used to tell people, and people come to me, I remember a guy one time coming, he said, Pastor, I just don't feel I need to get a job. I'm like, why? He was like, I'm going to spend time. He was a Christian. He was like, I'm just going to spend time studying. And I'm going to study. I'm going to press in. I'm going to press in. I'm going to press in. I'm like, brother, I said, you're missing a kingdom principle. You're missing a godly kingdom principle. And that's work. God wants you to do something. He wants you to do something with your mind. I'm not saying reading the word's not something. It is something. But God wants you he wants you to be creative. He wants you to do that. Amen. So that he can do more in you and through you. And that guy got a job. He's like, thank you. He said, you know what I can do now is I can give. Giving is a thing, right? Yeah. It's a thing. And I told my kids early, my kids, well, when do I work? When do I get a job? Whenever you're ready for it. But you do it with a heart of, why we work? You work to serve the kingdom. You work to serve God as a believer. I'm trying not to go down another rabbit hole here, but praise God. God wants to release. He wants to release everything into your life, but he wants a deeper relationship with you. Jesus was saying, Peter, you get more of me. This is what you get. Is there a hundredfold? Yeah, there's a hundredfold. There's more than a hundredfold. If you think about every spiritual blessing, everything that you can possess and pull down, that's an abundant amount of stuff, amen, for you and your life. And I'm not talking just stuff. How about spiritual stuff? I'm not talking about having another car. I'm not talking about having a bigger garage, having more things, having more things in my garage. I don't need more things in my garage. I need to value what I got, take care of it, get rid of, give away, whatever I need to do for the Lord to move that way in my life. Praise God. Lastly, the call is worth it. The call of God is worth it. Take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 9. The call of God's worth it. You're worth it. He's worth it. And the call's worth it. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said to the Lord, and he said to him, the Lord said in him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Verse 13, it says, then Ananias answered, says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all those who call upon your name. So Ananias, he was being called to do something, but he's questioning, right? He's, hold up, you're getting ready to send Saul? Do you know about Saul? He's killing all my friends. You're sending me a guy to pray for, to lay hands on, that he's more than likely he knew people, could have even been his family. He had killed. Saul was persecuting Christians. He thought he was doing it in the name of God. I'm going to get rid of these Christians. When people tell me, God can't use me, I always take them to Acts chapter 9. So this brother was ripping and tearing. He was brutally killing Christians. Brutally. Not just like, just walk up and take care. No, he was brutally killing people. So I always take him in Acts 9. Ananias was, this guy, he's rough. He's mean. He's tough. He what's he going to do to me? In verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to him, go. Everybody say go. Because see, it's two letters. The word says go. And he got his assignment. He got his purpose. He got his call from the Lord. And the Lord said to him, he said, go. He said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. He's mine. He belongs to me. Can I tell you today that, once we're born again, you've been bought. You've been bought and purchased. God, he's done it for you. You've been bought and you've been purchased. He owns you. I mean, you think about it. If you want to get even tech, he purchased you. When you purchase something, do you get it or do you lose it? You get it, right? You keep something. When you go purchase a nice dress. Do you take it home and say, give it away? No, you purchase it. You want to wear it, right? Guys, you buy a new car, right? You purchase the car. You don't look at the car and say, I'm just going to set it in my driveway and not drive it. No, you own it. You drive it. He purchased you. That's ownership. And you think, he owns me? It's kind of brash, right? You start thinking about, he owns God. He owns me? He purchased you. The thing about it, I want you to catch this today. Catch the revelation today. Man, you're worthy. He's worthy. The call of God's worthy upon your life. You'll see what happens. He told Ananias, he said, go. If you just go. You go. And he reveals to him the kind of life that Paul's going to live. He's going to be persecuted for my name's sake. We sang that new song today, and this is really good. But he's going to be persecuted for my name's sake. That's the kind of life. Ananias doesn't know what that means other than the fact that he's following orders. He's following orders. He's listening to the Lord. It's so important to listen to the Lord, the call. The call. The calling is worthy. Amen? I had a guy tell me, it was interesting. Minister, if you would come to the keyboard. I had a friend of mine tell me many years ago, and he said, I was sitting with him asking him questions, and I said, I want to be a better pastor. I don't know what I'm doing, and as a pastor, and I need to learn more, and I need a greater revelation. And I'll be honest with you, I need that every day, but I need it on Sunday mornings. That's why I tell him, please pray for me. Amen. Pray for your pastor. Amen. But, I asked the question. I remember we were sitting there, and it's probably 30, 40 minutes of talking. And I'd ask questions he'd answer. It was really cool. I enjoyed it. Really respect him. He's a pastor. He's got a fairly large church in Canada. And It's a large church. It's not fairly large. It is large, but. And he said, "Can I give you something?" I was like, "Brother, sure, give it to me." And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I trust the Jesus in you. I trust the Lord in you. Not your abilities. Not the giftings that you know." He said, I know you know you can speak, you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. But he said, above all else, the work that you're being called to, I trust Jesus. And you know what Ananias was doing here in the call? He was trusting Jesus. Because he, in the natural, he's like, he could come and kill me and kill my family, but I'm going to trust Jesus. Can I tell you something simple about the call? It's the simple acts of obedience. I told the earlier service, I remember one time when, I was new into church and had just started, and I'm not called, I'm not equipped, I'm running the altar every other week. Praise God, I need Jesus. The pastor comes to me, he says, "Hey," he said, "I want you to take some kids camping." I'm not called to do that. I'm not equipped to do that. And he looks at, kind of trying to get out of it, right? And he said, "Can you build a fire?" I said, "Yeah, I can build a fire." He says, "Well, you're equipped. You plan on having kids one day?" I said, "Yeah, I plan on having kids." He said, "Well, I'm going to give you about 5 or 8, 12-year-olds. You'll have your children will be 12 one day. You know how to pack a tent? You know how to set up a tent?" "Yeah, I know how to do all that." He said, "Well, this is what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to take this group of kids out. You know, they need mentors. They need Brother Jared, you being here. I mean, that's what he does. They need mentors." And he didn't ask me how many Bible verses I knew. Aren't you thankful? He asked me a simple thing. Are you available? Are you available? See, because I think the call, sometimes we mistake the call on purpose we think about the large things. I've been on that side, thought about the large things. You know, we got involved in ministry. I thought every service had to, I would follow the family we were under, and I thought, well, because he preaches great, and he they got miracles, and everybody's getting healed and saved in every service. And I honestly thought that's like and Brother Jonathan, I love their ministry. And because we were under them, I was like, I'd watch him and think, okay, I got to go preach like him. I wasn't him. I wasn't him. I was like, the Lord was quick. You know, it was for me to begin to focus on who I am, who the identity that God put in me, who I could be. Now, I learned from it, amen. I mean, goodness, we grabbed a hold of teachings. I mean, we started listening to stuff that was preached from their ministry early on. I was like, bro, that hits me right here. Many of us in here would say that, Praise God. But it was at that time that it was like, Lord, I need to understand the purpose in which you're calling me to do things. What's my calling? What am I gonna pursue with a passion? And I realized something. It was like, okay, I've got to be the best me that I can be. Best me that I could be. And so I become me with God. I wasn't trying to be somebody else. I became me. And I'm still becoming me. I'm still learning. Praise God. I still watch great ministers of faith because it does something to me. I learn. I learn. You learn. You learn from people. Amen. Anybody learning from people? Amen. That's good. You need people in your life. You don't have mentors. You don't have people you listen to. You don't have people that are you can ask questions to. And you'll find yourself in a corner very quickly. You need that in your life. Hear that today. You need mentors. You need somebody in your life that you'll allow to speak into your life. Brother Austin Jones and I have that. It's a weird thing. You know, he looked at me, and he's a dear friend, but he looked at me and said, if you ever see anything in my life that gets out of whack, he said, you have full permission to say whatever you need to say to me. I said, ditto, brother. And like I said, I shared a little bit of a testimony. He corrected me one time. I wasn't hurt or offended. I wasn't ready to fight, you know, because we both probably would have liked to fight at one time. But I said, brother, thanks, man. That means a lot. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. You know, in the call, don't compare yourself to others. The call of God, though, hear this. The call of God is, it's worth it. You're worth it. He's worth it. And the call, the things that he's asking you, it's worth it. And, you know, get out of your mind. It's like, what's in it for me? Just like Peter, he's worth it. What's in it for you is him. What's in it for you is him. I isn't that cool? A greater, deeper level and understanding of him. I don't know if this is touching anybody today. I guess it's touching me. You know, what God wants to do with the church is amazing right now. And he's going to put his hand on people. And it could be the simplest of simplest things. It could be walking into a classroom. Because, see, that carries you to the next thing. You know, don't be in a place where you're like, well, you know, that's I'll beat myself up. Don't do that. Because the enemy wants you to think that you're defeated. I'm never in a place of defeat. Everybody just bow your heads this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you're here this morning and you'd say to me, Pastor, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. It's a surrender. It's a surrender that I need to make him Lord of my life. I need to surrender my life to him. Maybe you're in here today and you haven't surrendered your whole life to him. Maybe there's something holding you back or holding you away from going deeper with him. Jesus wants to be that for you today. I want to be very honest with you. If you were to say, you know, Pastor, I need a Savior. A Savior is somebody that does save, but I need, you know, my sins. I need to be cleansed today. I need to give Jesus Christ my life. If that's anybody in here today, just slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen. 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 Praise God. Second thing I want to pray for this morning. You know, I feel it's very important that even see your hand. Praise God. I want to cover this because I think there are people that want to walk deeper into the call that God has on your life already. And I think there are people that are here that are saying, okay, what is it? What is it? And I just I want to pray for that today. I want to pray over anybody here that you feel a greater or a deeper revelation of the call of God on your life. I want to pray for that. So two things today. If you raised your hand and you need salvation and you'd say, hey, Pastor, that's me, I'm going to invite you forward this morning and I want to pray a simple prayer with you. A simple prayer with you. But secondly, around the call today, the call of God, that you know, maybe you've stepped into just one or two things, but it's like, you know, I sense the call's greater. I want to cover that in prayer today. So as we begin to minister, I just come forward for those two things. Today you raised your hand for salvation. Secondly, around the call of God. God's going to take people to a greater level, and I sense that in the house today. Praise God. Praise God.